Welcome, ladies and gentlemen, to the By Yahweh's Design Conference Call for the 22nd of July, year 2018. I am Pastor and Commander Dan, your host and chairman for this meeting for the House of Jacob Israel, the true Israelites. The agenda for today's call is the Helsinki Summit, Believers Preparations, Clifton Emmaheiser, and then should time present itself in open forum and possibly a solo rant. We do dedicate this call to our Heavenly Father Yahweh, who is the great I Am. We also dedicate this call to His holy remnant. Now remember, holy means set apart. Holy remnant, who are the believing sons and daughters of Jacob, who was later named Israel. So please remember, Israel or Israel is a people, not a country. Today, these people are known as the Caucasian or the true Israelite peoples of the world. Hallelujah, which means all praise Yahweh in ancient or Paleo Hebrew. To my Welsh kinsmen, Shumai, and welcome to the program. Prynion Hada, which is as close as I can get to Welsh for good afternoon, because they're ahead of us by about 5 or 6 hours. We do welcome callers to the program. We do ask that you keep anything that you have to say short as possible to allow other folks to join in. For those who are using their phones, you would use star six on your phone. If you're on a computer, you just press the Q&A button on your screen, and that'll flag me and let me know that you wish to make a statement. For the folks listening via Bank versus UTV, if you do have a comment or question, the call-in number is area code 605. The phone number is 472-5300, and again, that's area code 605-472-5300. The access code for this show is 649249. 649249. So, pretty easy to remember. The website is www.pastordan.net, and we have the schedule up there. Lots of archives of past programs going all the way back to 1999. Some very informative interviews were done, especially back in the early days with Colonel Don de Grand Pre, Fearless Jim Floyd from Alabama, U.S. Air Force General Ben Parton, the Special Forces Underground Representative Sergeant First Class Stephen Berry, and a host of other interviews were done. If you go back and listen to the interviews, it's quite interesting as to how our people were aware of a lot of things even clear back then, which speaks of Yahweh talking to His sons and daughters and letting us know real time what's going on. Ezekiel 25, verse 14, "And I will lay my vengeance upon Edom by the hand of my people, Jacob Israel." By my people. Doesn't say by my country. It says by my people, Jacob Israel. "And they," meaning us, "shall do in Edom according to mine anger and according to my fury, and they shall know my vengeance, saith Yahweh El Shaddai." El Shaddai, of course, means God Almighty in modern-day English. Yahweh being the name of our Heavenly Father. "So they," meaning Edom, "will know my vengeance." There's other verses, too. Obadiah, verse 18, we could go to, etc., where it shows that Yahweh has commanded the annihilation of these people called Edom Esau. A lot of teaching ministries have correctly identified who they are, and the Jewish Encyclopedia even identifies who Edom Esau is at the present time. And for the folks out there that are new to all this, what we call the identity message, we call it that because it correctly identifies who's who. So if you're new to it, you might not know, but Edom Esau today is found in the people that call themselves Jews. The Revelation chapter 2, 9, people who are imposters because they're calling themselves Jews, as in the people of the Bible, when in fact they are the sons and daughters of Satan, as John told us in chapter 8, and they are nowhere near the people identified as the Israelites in the Bible. They have no identification marks of those people whatsoever. Now, whole lessons could be taught in that particular vein. Suffice it to say, we've done that over the years many, many times, and if you need to come up to speed, well then, do the research like most of us have. We do have an open policy here that if you can contend with anything we talk about, if you can prove it wrong, if you have evidence, we'll be glad to invite you onto the program, and you will have a free hour, whatever it takes, to rebut us. In almost 19 years of being on the radio, I have yet to have anybody take me up on that. Interestingly enough. So I take that Father is blessing us in the fact that we have been seekers of the truth from day one. We do not condone liars. That's the only prerequisite to coming on this program, either as a caller or a guest, is you must tell the truth. If you're found out to be a liar or a deceiver, then you will be banned from the show and from any communication with us, because Yahweh made it very clear, ye shall know the truth, and the truth shall set you free. Free from what? Bondage, ignorance, etc. Somebody just sent me a quote yesterday from a movie called The Man in the Iron Mask. It was made back in 1998. Kind of interesting that a lot of this stuff was ramping up around 1998. But in the movie, there's a statement made, I would rather die covered in blood than an old man lying in a pool of piss. Now, some people might find that a bit crude, but the principle is the same. Our people throughout history, whether you're talking about the Spartans, the Greek hoplites, the Roman legions, the Celt warriors of Germany and France and Spain, or the Highlanders of Scotland, doesn't matter. The Vikings, they're all our people. Different tribes, but still our people. And they always held it in high regard that a man was honored by the way he led his life, but also by the way he died. What did he consider worthy of the ultimate sacrifice? And obviously, the most important thing for us as a race of people is to die in the preservation of our race. Now, a lot of people say, well, no, that since Christ came, you know, that's all changed. Every living person is a member of Yahweh's family, and so that's no longer admirable. It's now better to be red than dead, that sort of mentality, when in fact that's not what the Bible teaches at all. To the very end, it does not teach that we compromise with communists, degenerates, anything of that order. It also uses the term occupy till I return. Those were the words of the Christ himself now. Occupy until I return. All right? That doesn't mean acquiescing to all these misfits and degenerates and communists that are walking amongst us. And they're getting very brazen in their attitudes, by the way. So I'm telling you, there's a lot of smoke on the horizon. That's all I can tell you for sure. And if you haven't got a good prayer, how should I say this? Prayer life, I guess. Yeah, if you don't have a good prayer life with our Father, you'd better get one in a hurry. A lot of smoke. We did have a sad note came in across my desk a couple days ago that Clifton Emmaheiser, who had his teaching ministry out of Fostoria, Ohio, Interestingly enough, I used to live not too far from there, and I got to meet Clifton many years ago at one of our Council of Elder meetings in the state of Ohio, and he attended. So I was privileged to meet him. He lived to be 91, praise Yahweh. He did suffer from some medical problems in the end for quite some time. And we give a shout out to Mr. William Fink for giving Clifton solace down here in northern Florida in his final days. He brought Clifton down here so that he could be in a warmer climate and took care of him and saw to his needs until he passed. He will be laid to rest back up in Ohio next to his wife, who died many years ago. So again, do we all agree on everything? No, I had my contentions with Mr. Fink and Clifton Emma Heiser over the years, but don't we have contentions with all of us? My own flesh and blood, brothers and sisters and children, have had contentions, and even my own mother and father I've had contentions with. So contentiousness is a mark of an Israelite, because we tend to be very passionate people. We tend to be very stiff-necked, which is a biblical way of saying that you're stubborn. Okay, so stubborn is a mark of our people. Very, very stubborn. In fact, we're so stubborn that even in the face of peril, as we find the white race today in all of our nations under a Jewish-led attack to destroy our race, we still remain stiff-necked. We still want to find whatever we can, it seems, to argue with each other and backbite and backstab. And it's just a remarkable thing. Remarkable. But then again, the Bible talks about our people being this way. So we've been that way for a very long time, yet we're still here. So at some point, the Israelites, much as they did in the days of King David, when David slew Goliath, they'll stand around on the hilltops, make a lot of noise, but they won't move their ass until King David went down and took on Goliath by himself. And when King David prayed the prayer that vengeance is the Lord's, he was picking up stones from the creek bed, picking up nice, smooth, round stones that would make excellent projectiles in his sling. So for you pansies out there and you snowflakes and cucks that think you're doing the will of God, I've got news for you. When you stand in front of the Father, you're going to be chastised. What your punishment will be, I'm not quite sure, but you're not going to be rewarded. You're sure as hell not going to be lauded for any kind of bravery because you sat around on your ass while the whole world goes up in flames, waiting for something ridiculous called a rapture, which isn't going to happen, by the way. So let me know how that works out for you, will you? Because I plan on being up in the bleachers in the side that decided to get off my ass and do something many years ago instead of just watching the world disintegrate. So let me know how your path works out for you. But, you know, and again, it doesn't mean running out in the middle of the street with a submachine gun and trying to take on an army tank. That's just foolishness. But it does mean that each of us is given talents. Each of us is given opportunities to do something. All right? Sitting around bemoaning the situation and saying that, well, you know, my pastor says that a good Christian shouldn't be violent, or a good Christian shouldn't even own weapons. I've heard Baptist ministers actually say garbage like that. And you know, if you're going to listen to that prostitute, because most of these preachers, that's what they are, they're just prostitutes. They've sold their body and soul for money to the beast to keep you asleep. You see, they've become Baal priests. That's the job of a Baal priest, to keep the population sedated mentally so that they don't rise up against the governing people, the Antichrists. We're going to read some from Revelation here in a minute, but you know, this beast system couldn't get away with what it's doing unless the Baal priests were subjecting the sheep in their congregations to endless propaganda and nonsense, such as Christ, what would Christ say? As if Christ was some kind of a hippie little cuck that walked around and just begged people to behave themselves and, you know, please, please, can't we all just get along? Well, if you read the book of Matthew, what did he tell the woman that wanted a blessing? He said, get away from me, you're a dog. In so many words, you're a dog. I'm bringing the bread for the children. Who are the children? That's us. The children of Jacob, the white race, the various tribes of the white race. That's who our kinsman redeemer. Did you guys forget about that verse in the Bible? He's our kinsman. Do you know what kind and kin is talking about? And yet you listen to that lying preacher down there telling you that everything in shoe leather is your brother, when the very Greek word, Adolphos, means from the womb. It's a descriptive noun saying that your brother is somebody of your race, from the same womb. You came from a white womb, so is your brother. It's not talking about the blacks of Africa or the browns of the Middle East or the Asians. It's not that I have anything against them. They're just not part of the family, people. Kind after kind, okay? Asian after Asian, black after black, brown with brown, etc. That's how you keep peace and harmony. That's how you obey God's law. And again, if you don't like that, then change the channel. Go about your life. I wish you well, but you're going to have a life of misery like every person I know that's in a multi or a diverse relationship, a mixed marriage, so to speak. Every single one of them that I know personally, and there's quite a few, they're in a miserable relationship, not a good, happy one. It's miserable. And God forbid they have children. The misery upon the children's tenfold, just like the Bible says. The sins of the fathers, and that would include the mothers, is visited upon the children until the, what, 10th generation. 10th generation. So the plagues that come from mixed marriages, the plagues of what? Medical problems, emotional problems, mental problems, societal problems. And yet you people listen to that lying preacher when he says, God loves everybody. Come on down here to the altar and just kneel down and we will bless you and you'll be filled with the Holy Spirit. Really? That's funny. Christ didn't do that. Christ told the woman that wanted him to bless her daughter with a healing that she was a dog. Now, when she admitted she was a dog, and said, but don't dogs deserve crumbs from their master's table? What's that mean? That all the other peoples of the earth deserve a blessing if they behave themselves from the efforts of the white race. That's what that verse is talking about. And look at history. Has that not been true? Tell me it hasn't been true. Yeah, it has been true. I used to have a lot of correspondence with folks, and I still correspond with folks living in South Africa. And one of the gentlemen, Egon, that I spoke with many years ago, he's no longer in South Africa. I think he and his family went to Belgium. They finally gave up. But when he was still there, he told me the history of the whites and blacks of South Africa when he was a boy. And the plantations were owned by the whites. And they worked side by side with the blacks, and they got along fine. He said the blacks appreciated the fact that they had jobs, and they actually had decent housing, and they had hospitalization and medical care, and they had education, things they didn't have in the wild. Go into the wilds of Africa and see if you can live that well. If you're honest with yourself, you will realize that, no, that's not the way it is there. So the blacks in the early days appreciated the white farmers, the Boers of South Africa. And so they would come and they would seek employment or work on the farms. And as my buddy Egon said, we got along fine. You know, we told them what they had to do. And they understood we were in charge. It was our land, our farms, and we treated them with respect. We didn't put up with any misbehaving. No white man should do that. But we got along, and we produced the multiple crops, you know, multitudes of crops, large quantities. And so all the blacks in that area, again, had a taste of civilization. They were happy. The whites were producing. They were making money, selling lots of exports. They produced far more than they needed, so they were able to export. And then all of a sudden, the Jews showed up. De Beers and the rest of them, because South Africa is also loaded with gold and diamonds and other rare materials such as chromium, platinum. And so the Jews showed up and said, well, these white Boer farmers aren't going to allow us to take over, so we're going to have to start wars and use our control, the media, to defame the Boer farmers in the press. And that's when the Boer War started, and the British Army showed up and did their dirty work of taking the Boers down. Of course, they couldn't beat them on the battlefield. They do what Jews always do. They rounded up the men and women, and or I should say the women and children, and put them in concentration camps. Does that sound familiar? Like Russia, China, Cambodia, where the Jewish communists always do the same thing. So they couldn't beat the Boer farmer on a battlefield, so they took the women and children and put them in stockades and starved them, mistreated them, until the Boer farmers finally surrendered. Yeah, that's how they do things. They won't meet you face to face because Jews are cowards. I've said it for years. You got these people running around saying the Israeli army is one of the best in the world. Really? That's not what my military buddies tell me that have been stationed over there. That's not what I see from any of the reports I read. I see that they're scum. They're scum both physically. They live like pigs. They're scum as far as their behavior. They shoot innocent children just for the hell of it. And the world is still saying that they're somehow these wonderful, moral people. And they are the most immoral army that has ever existed. That's like some of these talking heads telling us that the Mossad is an honorable organization. Really? The Mossad's an honorable organization. I guess you don't remember the Winter Olympics in Norway so many years ago. I still remember it to this day. I watched TV back then, and I liked watching the Olympics. And I remember the story where a Palestinian man had gone to the Winter Olympics in Norway, and he was gunned down by machine guns. A sedan pulled up with five men and one woman, all of them Israeli Mossad. And they gunned this Palestinian down in front of his wife and children. And then a officer of the Mossad got on worldwide television to tell us that it wasn't the Israelis' fault for killing an innocent man because he looked like the guy they were after. Only a Jew has the gall to get on worldwide television and tell us that they're not at fault, they didn't commit murder, because the guy they gunned down resembled the guy they were after. Now, how would that go for you and I, folks, if we pulled up with a bunch of our buddies and jumped out and machine gunned a guy down, and then we went in front of the judge and jury and said, well, it's not our fault. He looked like the guy we were after. And yet the world let Israel have a pass for this? The Israelis got a pass? How about when we found out about the USS Liberty and the fact that that United States vessel with a gigantic American flag flying off the back of it, we know for a fact that they knew it was a United States vessel. because the plan all along, with collusion from the LBJ White House, Lyndon Baines Johnson, that piece of dog meat, the plan all along was for the Israelis to strafe that ship. And they ended up not only strafing it with the jet airplanes and bombing it, they also sent torpedo boats and put torpedoes into it and strafed the survivors trying to get off the boat onto the life rafts. They strafed them with 50 caliber machine gun fire. That's the Israelis in reality. That's the high moral army that the world talking heads and the lying preachers are telling you about. That's the way they do business. An unarmed United States vessel sitting in the water like a duck in a barrel. And they strafed and bombed for 2 hours an unarmed vessel. And it's only because of the ingenuity and courage of the captain that they were able to make a makeshift antenna out of parts that were laying around that they could finally get a radio signal out to the fleet that they were being fired upon. And when the admiral was sending his planes to assist them, Lyndon Baines Johnson and his entourage in Washington told the admiral to stand down. In the words of LBJ, I don't care if they sink that ship, you're not going to embarrass our friends, the Israelis. Well, Lyndon Baines Johnson is a crypto Jew, as was Lady Bird Johnson. So, is it any wonder that they would not want to embarrass fellow Jews to the point of sinking a United States naval vessel with over 150 or close to 200 sailors on it? And by the end of 2 hours, most of them were either dead or wounded. This is what the Israelis do. This is what these so-called chosenites do in reality. If you get your heads away from that propaganda tool called tell lie vision or Talmud vision and actually look into things, you begin to find out what they're actually all about. And they're not good people. No matter what the media tells you, no matter what your preachers are telling you, they're not good people. I'm getting a message here. Somebody wants to know when our show is on. Apparently he didn't look at his email. So the point of it is, we have to, at some point, as Bill Holter says, we have to come to this point where truth matters, okay? We as a race, we as people, we as citizens, we as nationals, whatever you want to call yourself, free men and women upon the land is what we really are, under the law of Yahweh. We're not under man's law. We put ourselves under man's law, but we're not actually under man's law. That's a social construct by our enemies that we have to obey ungodly people. Okay, Romans 13 and other parts of the Bible are not talking about blind obedience to government. That's what your Baal priests are telling you in the whitewashed sepulchers known as churches today. Okay, they're telling you that. Is that what the Bible says? No. Is that what Christ would have said? No. Not in any way, shape, or form. If you read Paul's writings in the book of Romans and you read it correctly, you'll understand that he's talking about godly government. You see, they leave that part out when they tell you about, well, you're a believer, you're a church-going white guy in America. Well, your obligation is to obey government. Really? William Blackstone, the great jurist that was used, his commentaries were used in our law schools up until the latest years. So all through the years when America truly was great, William Blackstone was taught, because of his wisdom and his commentaries were standard fare for the students. William Blackstone said that any law created by any legislative body that goes counter to God's law is no law at all. How about that? Anything that a group of men and women come up with, well, back in his day, it would have been men only. Any group of men that come up with a law that runs counter to the God's law is no law at all. How about that? And isn't it amazing that Romans chapter 13 says exactly the same thing? If you read the whole chapter, you see they're cafeteria Christians, these modern day whitewashed sepulcher goers and their Baal priests. They're cafeteria people. They just pick and choose what they like, leave the rest out of it. So when they read Romans 13, they don't read the whole thing, because when you read the whole thing, it makes it very clear that the only government that our Heavenly Father expects us to pay any homage to is a moral government that upholds the laws of our Heavenly Father. Now, what person in their right mind is going to tell me that any government of a white nation today fits that description? The only one I have seen recently that even comes close is the little island nation of Iceland. Why is that? Because Iceland is predominantly white, so they've obeyed the racial commandments. They recently threw 79 of their top bankers in prison, so they're obeying the law about usury, or at least on the surface it looks that way. They forgave the debt, which doesn't exist. We don't owe these bankers a damn thing. That's your Baal priests and your Mockingbird media telling you that we owe them this debt. Why do we owe a debt on something that doesn't exist? All you have to do is go to the Federal Reserve and these huge banks and say, show me the money. How do I owe interest on something that doesn't exist? Show me the money. I'm going to go buy my house for $250,000. You say you loaned it to me. Show me the money. Put it in a suitcase. I want to carry it down and give it to the owner of the house. I'm borrowing $250,000. Put it in a suitcase for me. Ask them to do that. They'll laugh you out of the building. They don't have the money. It does not exist. It's computer digits. Computer digits. It's not real money. Real money is what the Bible says, silver and gold, precious metals. That's money, and that's only used for basically bartering as commerce between people, so that we can have commerce between ourselves to assist in that. That's all. This whole idea that banking is a business, what a joke. Did they have a right to make money? Why? What did they do? They didn't do a damn thing. So there's your pretext, or there is your basis for doing exactly what Iceland did, and I believe Vietnam did the same thing. Our fellow patriots out there in Vietnam recently did something very similar. And I believe a few other European nations are considering it, like Italy. Because we're drowning in debt, which was created by our prostitutes in government, because we have stopped doing what our Heavenly Father commands us to do, which is to keep a tight rein on these bastards called government, because they're criminals. That's why they, you know, our founding fathers even said, to be free and to have liberty requires eternal vigilance. What do you think it means when he says that? So here again, you know, they're telling us that $21 trillion debt, and then you talk about the unfunded liabilities and all this other, quote, debt. Where's the money? How is there a debt on non-existent money? There is no money. It's all smoke and mirrors by these shysters called bankers, and they're in bed with the other shysters called government. We don't owe them a damn thing. That's all a mental propaganda ploy being put on you and me. We don't owe it to them. So Shout out to our Icelandic cousins over there for having enough guts to do that. I pray that our cousins in Italy and other nations will finally wake up and get some backbone and tell the bankers the same thing. So we need to come out from underneath this financial bondage that we're in. The Bible tells us that all evil, okay, the root or the cause of all evil is in the what? Love of money. It's not money, folks. Money is nothing more than a tool. It's like a hammer. You can use a hammer to drive a nail and put up a building, or you can use a hammer to bash in the head of your neighbor. It's the same hammer. The hammer doesn't make one damn bit of difference. It's what the person wielding the hammer. That's where you have to be careful. The same thing with weapons and guns. They want you to think that the guns somehow are evil. No, they're not. They're a tool. They're a tool, no different than any other tool. Money is the same thing. It's a tool. How you use it determines whether you're good or evil. Is it a tool to build a better world, or is it a tool to tear down the world that we live in? Right now, it's being run by degenerates and profligates and Satanists and every form of degeneracy you can imagine. They're using money to buy properties that they don't have a right to. And the Jews have set up this fake, phony world money system that now is allowing people like China and other countries to buy up our resources with fake money. You got to remember, your resources and your people are your country. Not money. As we've just talked about, they can print up all the money they want. They can go to that kike Jew Mnuchin at the Federal Reserve and tell him, "Hey, Steve, hey, oy vey, we got our cohorts over in China want to buy up some more of California. Hit F4 on the keyboard, would you? We need a couple more billion dollars to go in there and buy white men's businesses and white man's property. Because white people are too damn stupid to figure this thing out. So we're going to go in here with a bunch of these electronic digits, and we're going to buy up real property and real businesses and real factories and real farms that have been in white men's possession for hundreds of years, and sometimes in one family's possession for generations. We're going to go in and buy it up with a bunch of digits. Isn't that cool? We're coming in here with fake, phony digits and buying up real property and real businesses because white people just don't want to listen. They don't want to obey God's law. That's silly. Why would I want to study the Bible and the laws that it teaches? My God, that's outdated, Dan. Why? Why would I want to study that old, dusty book? What good would it be when I can go down and rub shoulders with Irv and Sal at the synagogue down here, and they'll promise to shovel some of those electronic digits in my bank account? As long as I play ball, as long as I don't ever challenge them in any way, why would I want to care what guys wrote 4,500 years ago or what Christ said 2,000 years ago? Why would I care, Dan, when it's obvious the Jews run everything with their fake, phony digital money? Why would I care what the Christ said about these Jews and what Obadiah the prophet said at verse 18 or what Ezekiel said here in chapter 25? Why would I care, Dan? Please, why would I care? Because your country's being taken from you, dumbass. That's why you should care. You're losing your land. You're losing your resources. You're losing control, which is exactly what Christ said that you were to maintain and occupy till I return. Have you done it, white man and white woman? No, you haven't. Let me give you a clue here. You haven't. Instead, you've acquiesced, shut off your brain, shut off your common sense, shut off your integrity, and put all that on the nightstand and got up out of bed and became the bag of bones that goes down and labors for the Jew, pays homage to the Jew, pays homage to that Baal priest behind the pulpit. You go through the motions. Something inside you says you should pay homage to God, so you feel you're doing that by going to that whitewashed sepulcher and listening to that bag of bones behind the pulpit, the Baal priest, as he tells you how great everything is. Oh, and by the way, we're going to have a ham dinner tonight. After the service, stick around. We're going to have a ham luncheon, and we're going to hand out invitations to the black boy over here that wants to marry the white girl. And then, you know, after that ceremony, a couple hours later, we're going to refit everything. And then we've got Peter and John want to get married, so you want to be sure to stick around for that gay marriage. This is what the Baal priest is telling you, and you people are buying it. You're sucking it up instead of standing up and denouncing him. Because when people say, well, what would Jesus say? Let me tell you what he would say. He'd say, that's a blasphemy against my law, my natural law. That's a blasphemy. That's an abomination. That's exactly what the Messiah would say. He wouldn't sit there and suck down that slimy, pussy pig meat. He wouldn't sit there and condone an interracial marriage. He wouldn't sit there and condone an abomination like homosexuality. Are you kidding me? You people buy this garbage. But, you know, we have a saying, you can ignore the truth, but you cannot ignore the consequences of ignoring the truth. And you're living in it right now in every white nation on earth. Now, the other races are suffering under this bondage of Jewish international banksterism. They're suffering as badly and in some cases worse. They're over there harvesting organs out of live people in parts of the Asian countries and the Middle East. There's actual countries that are making huge amounts of money harvesting organs out of perfectly healthy Asian people. And that's okay? Oh, that's right. You're going to go down to your church and have that ham sandwich and celebrate the queers getting married because you think all's right in the world because the prostitutes have told you that. Let me tell you what Jesus would say. Yahshua HaMashiach is going to say, get away from me. I never knew you. Oh, but wait, we called you Lord. We built a new church in town and we had a soup line for the poor, and we did it in your name. No, get away from me. You're so far from me, I don't even want you near me. In fact, you know what? I'm going to vomit you out of my mouth. You are a disgusting, vile creature. How dare you call yourself a believer? How dare you claim that you honor me when you allow this kind of abomination to go on, not just in the white nations, but in all the lands of earth? You are of Adam, you white men and women. You are of Adam, and Adam was put here to tend or keep the garden. The garden is referring to earth, people. Oh, I know, they got you thinking it was just a little plot of ground over there. I got news for you. Caucasoid peoples have been all over this earth for multiple thousands of years. They've uncovered mummies even up in Washington State, 8,000 years old. A Caucasian mummy in perfect condition. It's called the Kennewick Man. Of course, mainstream doesn't want you to know that, so you have to do a little digging, but it's there. And he's not the only Caucasian uncovered in America, in North America. So our people have been on this earth many thousands of years walking this earth and bringing his law, just like the Las Lunas stone in New Mexico that's got the three ancient languages of the white race on it, and it's the Ten Commandments, thousands of years old, thousands of years old. And ancient Paleo-Hebrew is one of the languages on it. How about that? Ten Commandments sitting here thousands of years ago, written in the languages of the white race. Why do you think the pyramids that have been built all over this earth look the same? Because it's where our people went. We were the builders. It's no mystery. Oh, I know the talking heads tell you it's a mystery, but no, it's not a mystery. That's what they want you to think. Stephen Collins is a archaeologist from Royal Oak, Michigan. I've read all of his books. And he'll admit it in his books that academia, the professors of archaeology, know these facts, but they're not allowed to talk about it. As one of our listeners and guests on this show, Phil from Tampa, will tell you that when he was in school, he talked with a professor, of course, off record, and the professor told him virtually the same thing. I'm not allowed to teach the truth. Or Paul English with EFR can tell you about a gentleman that he knows from England many, many, many years ago when he was a young man. One of the things that when he was drafted into the service of the crown, he was told to come with all the other recruits, and they took him to a bunker, and over the next 2 months, they learned the true history of the world. Because what you're taught in the schools and institutions is a lie. Isn't that amazing? So the fact that you're being lied to is known to some people. But the sheep continue to just go to the pasture and munch on the grass, and everything's okay in the world. I can still watch MTV, and I can still watch my sports, and my Miller Lite is still cold down at the local bar, and every now and then I get a little attention from the ladies. So, you know, everything's okay in the world. Go back to sleep. That's what the Baal priests are telling you down at the Whitewash Sepulchers. Go back to sleep, little sheep. It's okay. I'm still going to get my pension. I still got my seminary degree. They didn't pull that. The IRS, even though I'm a 501c3 IRS corporation, they haven't attacked me yet because I've agreed not to preach the truth. So everything's good, little sheep. Go back to sleep. Don't you worry now. Just because the Jews control everything, including the media and the money and the government, it's okay because the talking heads on that flat screen called the image controlled by the beast. Oh, I know your Bible says image of the beast, but of is also a possessive preposition. Okay? Of, the image of, the image controlled by the beast. What images are controlled by this beast system? The ones you're watching on your flat screen cell phones, on your flat screen tablets, on your flat screen laptop, on your flat screen gigantic TV, your new altar to your false god in your living room. That's the image controlled by the beast. If you're sitting around waiting for some automaton out here to erect a statue in the image of something called a beast, you're wasting your time. You're not going to see it because you're watching it now. You watch it every single day of your life. You just don't realize it. You're being fed propaganda. The image controlled by the beast. But anyway, I sort of got off on a tangent there. We were talking about Clifton Emenhiser, who was a prolific writer and researcher, as is William Fink. But here again, these two gentlemen do a lot of good work. But, you know, the only problem I have with some folks in what we call identity is we have some folks that consider themselves high priests. They're just like cardinals and bishops and the Pope in the Roman Catholic Church. That's exactly how they act. In other words, you're okay as long as you agree with their version. Yeah. Let me know how that works out for you, will you? I've met a lot of people over my years. I've never met one that had all the answers. Not once have I met somebody with all the answers. It's just like the English translations. I've not seen one English translation that I couldn't find an error in it somewhere. Okay? So, what am I saying by that? I'm saying that you as sheep, you were told by Messiah that you're kings and priests. Isn't that what your Bible says? Well, what's the job of the priest? The priest is to present the people to Yahweh the Father. Well, that was no longer necessary after Yeshua's coming and his sacrifice. That's why the veil in the temple was torn in two. That whole system requiring a priest or a preacher or an intermediary for between you and our Father, that was done away with. You don't need a intercessor. You go straight to the Father. So now you're kings and priests. So that means in the world of your relationship with the Father and in civil government, you're all kings. Kings. You just don't know it yet because you're being told by a bunch of people that want to lord over you and control you and strip you of your wealth and sometimes strip you of your health and even sometimes your life. They want you to believe that they have a right to do that. Well, you're a king. Did you give them that right? They have no rights over you. They have no hold over you except what you mentally have already given over to them. That's why the media is 24/7 propaganda. Do you think that these high-tech devices are actually this cheap? Didn't you ever wonder why they're so plentiful and they keep the price of them down to make sure that you have lots of televisions in your house? Now they're putting flat screens all through the hallways of places like electrical power plants. You go down the hallways and there's a flat screen with propaganda running on it 24 hours a day. So now even in the businesses, now you can't even go down to a restaurant and sit and peacefully have a sandwich or a piece of pizza without a flat screen propaganda. Oh, they'll tell you we want you to be able to watch the sports. Like I said, propaganda. Mentally stripping the sheep, mentally seducing the sheep with the flat screens, the image controlled by the beast. In your Bible, it says image of the beast. And you're watching it every day, willingly, voluntarily. Your eyes are fixed on that screen. And you don't even realize everything coming across that screen. I know you all think the subliminal thing is a conspiracy theory. One day you're going to find out here real soon. So we're all kings and priests, so why are we allowing these bodies of people, you call them parliaments, Congress, government, military, whatever, why are we giving them what belongs to us? You know, that's why George Washington said, we have established this nation and given it to you. But we gave you a nation built upon the premise that we are a moral people. Now, this is the founder of America. These are his words. We're giving you a nation that's built on a premise that the people, and in his day, that meant the white men and women, because they're the ones that mattered. Those are the true Americans that founded this land, Europeans. That the Europeans that came here were moral people. And as George Washington said, This form of government that we're establishing, this republic, governed under a constitution that holds the public servants in check, is based on the white people being moral, self-governing, moral, holding themselves to a higher standard. Also, we want to give a shout out to Jimmy in Tampa with the Bank versus UTV folks that are listening as well. Yahweh bless all you guys. He's doing phenomenal work over there. Ask a blessing upon him. I'll tell you, it's time to wake up, folks. This is the year that truth matters. And if truth doesn't matter to you, shame on you. And we've got a caller here. Phil, welcome to the program.
Welcome. I thought I'd join in on a conversation. I've been having a rather heated debate with someone regarding the flat Earth truth rather than the ball Earth model. And doing it, and I remember during the 1980s, PBS, the Communist Channel, funded by the Rockefellers. Gave a program called Cosmos, hosted by a guy named Carl Sagan, who's Jewish, and he's born of a Ukrainian Jew in 1934, Jewish family in Ukraine. And this show was basically a multi-series. It was basically a combination of Mr. Rogers' Neighborhood and Doctor Who, and you basically go through space in an imaginary spacecraft. And he tries to explain to you what space is all about. And some years later, he wrote a book called The Demon-Haunted World. Science is a candle of light in it, in which he states, I think it was on like chapter 12 or something, that to ask someone to tell the truth and nothing but the truth in a court of law is an absolute impossibility, because there's no such thing as absolute truth. And so you're asking an impossibility, and so this is what is known. This is basically the Kol Nidre prayer, and he's a radical Jew, and he basically sympathizes with witchcraft and everything else as trying to seek the truth, and his idea of getting rid of evil is basically to deny its existence. And this is why he was praised heavily by the Jewish controlled Hollywood and everyone else. I remember he was on Johnny Carson's show quite a bit, and it's a laughing stock if you look at the show, but it was taken as hard science. And after his death, one of his colleagues said that Carl Carl always considered himself first and foremost as a Jew, but he would never share with anybody what exactly that meant. And those of us who know the truth know exactly what that meant. And so he systematically has undermined the court system and everything else. And this is why the space industry, the ball Earth model and everything else is forced upon the Western world and no one else. And if you think universalism is bad with just the various races, well, how bad can it be if you're including Martians or anything else in that mix? So, and this is why it's being done to undermine our people, and why no other world's belief system had believed in that until it was forced upon us, and heavily forced upon us after 1945. So, and you'll see this direct connection. So they'll people like in this industry, like people like Arthur C. Clarke, who supposedly invented the communication satellite, was an avid science fiction writer, and he basically said that the worst thing that man could ever do is to connect morality with religion, or in other words, with a god. And he famously said that advanced science is virtually indistinguishable from magic, what he's basically saying is that witches and witchcraft and and all these other things are the same. They're just not further advanced enough. So he doesn't, and he by the way, I think it was like 1950s, left Europe and went to Sri Lanka, where he lived the rest of his life. And the reason why he did that was because he hated Christianity, and he hated its morals, and saw that Europe was living in a medieval age. And he wanted to move to Sri Lanka because he was a rabid pedophile, and he would use his acquired wealth from all of his books and stuff to buy children from poor families, so he could molest them and do whatever he wanted to do with them. And if you study this, you'll see that this occult system is rampant, and this is basically ruling the white world. And it's a way of reducing our significance, because you cannot have the biblical truth if you do not have the firmament, because without the firmament, we all know as identity people that Satan was cast down into the firmament to be trapped in the firmament because he had rebelled against Yahweh in heaven. And then we were put here to stand our ground and to wage war if necessary against him. And if you do not have the firmament, you don't have, you know, it falls apart. If Christ, you know, Christ ascended to heaven, well, where exactly did he go? Well, the firmament opened up and he walked in. And if there's no firmament, then he must have gotten on a spaceship and gone and flew off to the Orion Nebula or something like that. Mm-hmm. So so this is why it's thrust upon us left, right, and center. It's also why unfortunately those who love the earth, or the idea of loving our creation, that, you know, that this world that we were given to control and take care of, is the only ones that are able to are allowed to praise homage to the earth, unfortunately, are the pagans. And this is the white pagans, and this is because the earth center of creation has been removed from them, and we're just merely a speck of dust in the sand of space, and we are not in the center of creation, which has always been the thought of everything else, and all the stars, the heavenly luminaries, were within the firmament. There was never such a thing as a universe, and even though they had constellations of various beings or entities or whatever, they all surrounded and all revolve around the one fixed star, which is the Nordic or North Star, it does not move, and they are all subservient to that star and pay homage to him, and that is where the seat of Yahweh sits above that. So you'll see this all throughout the NASA and the space industry, and all of the 95%, by the way, of all the all powerful telescopes are all owned and operated by the same entity, the controlled the Jesuit entity, which what they're trying to do is destroy the Christian belief system. And so modern paganism can adapt to that, because all paganism doesn't have any creed, so you can't be an apostasy to it. So they can adapt to it now, and then later on, they can change it if they choose. So, I've been to quite a number of Judeo-Christian churches where they've actually tried to defend this space thing because out of fear of being ridiculed and made fun of, and to not get anybody to argue with it. But if you believe in it, then the Bible and the Scripture is just an allegory. It's just it's nothing more than a parable, and it's no different than anything else. And the reason why Christ came in the first place is to show that this legend that the white race are the children of the Most High is true, and he was our Redeemer as well as our example of that, and he proved that. That's what his miracles were all about, and that's why he gave his life, and that's why he rose, and because he showed that he was divine, and that we are from that same source, That's his purpose. And the other religions of the white race, they were hoping to find that truth, and they believed they had heard of it passed down from generation to generation since Adam, but they had lost faith in it, and that's why he came. That's his primary purpose, and that's why that truth won out among the other belief systems in the world, and the global model, which is completely contrary to truth, has undermined that scripture, that principle, and has made us no longer the center of his creation and his thought. So that's and I thought that you might share that and let you understand that's what's happening in the white European world, because you can't share this among Muslims or any other world religion, because that would be racist. So you share it only among whites, and so you devalue them to the point of irrelevancy.
Yeah, but I've met people of other races, even though it's not politically correct, that know this truth, and they have no problem with it. The ones that I talked to, anyway, they had no problem with it. They understood it's the truth, and they were okay with it. So, all the animosity and all the hatred is stirred up by the same group, the same tribesmen, the same false Jews of Revelation chapter 2, verse 9. They're behind all of the hatred and animosity out there. The races can learn to get along with each other, just like I was saying in South Africa when my buddy was a plantation owner down there. When you take the Jews with their hatred of mankind and their phenomenal wealth, they use the two of them in conjunction to foment revolution, riot, unrest all over the earth. So if you take them out of the equation, which Obadiah, verse 18, says is going to happen here at some point, personally I think it's going to happen rather soon, because the whole world is beginning to understand that these people are liars and misfits, and they are literally, as it says in John chapter 8 and elsewhere, they are literally responsible for all the innocent blood that's being spilt on the earth. I wanted to ask you, Phil, do you remember, there was an article that came out, I'm going to say it was about 3 years ago, and it was about some senior cosmologists had just retired, and they got together and drafted this paper. And I'm pretty sure it was 8, they were all senior cosmologists, and they all had retired, so they didn't have to worry about losing tenure at universities and things like that. But all 8 of these senior cosmologists said, we hate to tell you this, but all the data points to the Earth being the center of what we know to be the universe. The center. It doesn't say we're part of a spinning ball going around another spinning ball, going around a spinning galaxy, going around thousands of other spinning galaxies endlessly. Mm-hmm. They said all the data points basically to the biblical description being the truth, and that we are the center here on this earth. And I thought that was phenomenal. But here again, did the mainstream talk about it? Did the lying prostitutes at the churches mention it? No. Isn't it funny? Because that all points to the concept of the earth that the ancients had, that the Bible describes, that you just described, and all points to intelligent design, which points to a creator. And yet the people that you would think would be interested in something like that, like church fathers, they didn't touch it with a 10-foot pole.
I've heard about that paper. I'd like to read it, but I've definitely heard about that. And I will guarantee you that nearly everyone that gets involved with modern astronomy heavily gets involved in it because of their immersion in science fiction when they were a child and everything else. And it's much easier. It's far more easier to me to explain to you or someone else the truth about Santa Claus than it is for me to tell you that you're never going to be a Flash Gordon, a Captain Kirk, or a or Luke Skywalker, and because that would destroy your dream. And as we know in our society, if you can dream it, you can do it. That's what they say, but it simply doesn't work if it's not in a functioning system. And it is true. And if you understand the truth of the CERN project, the super collider system that's in Switzerland. And by the way, there are quite a number of other super collider systems that they're being built on. So the Chinese are building one that's much, much larger than the CERN one. What they actually are, what they'll not tell you is they're an attempt to bust a hole into the firmament to allow Lucifer and his minions to escape and to get into heaven to refight the war that he was caged here. That's their attempt. They'll not tell you that to the mainstream, but that's what they're actually trying to do. And so I'm not surprised at all on that. And so you can see the craziness of it all. And I was immersed in this. As I mentioned, Carl Sagan's Cosmos. His most famous line, one of his most famous lines in that show is, "We're all just star stuff." And so in his Jewish order, your idea of going back to being back with Yahweh is his notion is that you're going to become another burning pile of gas, and the only thing that the universe is a massive vacuum of burning gas and rocks. That's it. It's a lot of it. It's an enormous amount of it, but it has total irrelevancy to it. To us,
here's the thing, Phil, where the Jews get us is we don't have discernment. So when a Jew like Carl Sagan says that, he's actually not lying, because the Jews don't have anywhere to go. The Jews are just made up of dust and go back to dust. So But we're supposed to be smart enough to know that we're not them and they're not us. And Caucasian guy says here on the chat, he says the earth is flat and stationary. And then he says the Genesis story of the Tower of Babel only makes sense if there's a physical firmament. And he's exactly right. It does not make any sense at all if there's a perpetual distance out there that just goes on ad infinitum to nowhere. It makes no sense whatsoever. So, I've got another caller, Phil. I'm going to go ahead and take, unless you had more that you wanted to say.
That's fine. Yeah, sure.
Okay, buddy. Yahweh bless.
Yahweh bless.
Okay, Henry, you're on the air. Welcome to the program.
Oh, hello, Dan. How you doing?
I'm doing fine, sir.
Well, I was just listening to you and Phil, and as you were speaking about the flat Earth, it sparked a little interest in me. I didn't hear either one of you mention it, but when you think about all this nonsense about the globe Earth, I think you have to remember. I think it's important to remember that the direct correlation that is made when you talk about this vast universe and the globe and the spinning Earth and the spinning galaxies and whatnot, how important that is to the theory of evolution. I don't think you can break the connection between the two. One goes hand in hand with the other one.
Amen.
So they they support each other. And I think that's part of the reason, that's part of the deception, is that the two together kind of overwhelm people into believing that there is no supernatural God and this is all just an accident, you know.
Exactly. That's what gets me. That's what gets me by, I've got even close friends and family that when we get into this discussion, they come off with, what difference does it make? God made the earth no matter what shape it is. It's like, how in the hell can you say that? How can you say it doesn't make a difference? It sure as hell does make a difference, because if they've lied to us about evolution and the shape of our Earth, Well, then that opens the door for lies in a lot of different categories. And number two, if it's ascertainable that we live on a flat earth with a firmament, exactly as the book says, you can't deny the existence of a creator. True?
Absolutely. I mean, oh, yeah, really.
Exactly.
It's just amazing.
Yeah. This is people with very high IQs. We're not talking about Maxine Water type people who has an IQ lower than room temperature. We're talking about white men and women with IQs that are up above 125 to 145. And yet they don't see the correlation that you just made. You know, you have to have the globe model be true so that you can support another lie called evolution. It's a must, because if the world is not this ball spinning around in nothingness, then there is a creator. You can't deny it. If you have a brain at all, you can't deny it. So it just goes, you know. Yeah, exactly. Exactly.
That's how we operate. Pure propaganda.
It's all propaganda. Amen to that. That's what television's all about. That's why they put Carl Sagan and that Neil deGrasse Tyson, that other charlatan quack. And here's the thing. Neil deGrasse Tyson isn't even a good actor. I mean, he comes across as a complete oaf. So why would you put this unpolished actor out there and try to pawn him off as a cosmologist or a astrophysicist? I mean, he doesn't even make a good actor. He's terrible.
You know, I think they realize, unfortunately, this is probably, you know, we know this is true because there's so many people with their heads in the sand. But I think they don't care. I really think they don't care. They know that there's people like us that are onto it and know the truth. But I think they don't really care because they know the masses, the general masses, their heads are buried in the sand, and they don't care if it's 5 or 10% of us that are awake. As long as there's 80 or 90% of us that are not, they just roll these people out in front of us like Tyson, and they're fine with that. They're fine with it, you know, because they win the elections, or, well, they don't actually win the election, but, you know, it's sickening. Well, what's the difference between propaganda and political correctness, I ask you?
Not much.
I don't think, really.
The
purpose isn't to convince us or to inform us. It's to humiliate us. I mean, the less it the less it corresponds to reality, the better.
Right.
And that's what they do. They force people to remain silent. You know, we're being told the most obvious lies that you can possibly imagine. I mean, the truth that should be so obvious to any thinking person that wants to use the brain that God gave them, but they don't care. And we remain silent for the most part. And that's how they control us. You know, we're emasculated liars with no integrity. And when I say we, I'm not talking about you and I, of course. I'm talking about the mass population, which is,
right.
I agree with you, though. I am seeing very, very, very good signs that there is an awakening happening now of proportions that were unthinkable just a few years ago.
Yeah, I agree.
Yeah,
even the left has a new. You know how MGTOW is going viral through the men, the various men of the world right now, which MGTOW is men going their own way. Well, the same thing is happening in the left, the world of the left and the liberals, with this hashtag walk away. That is becoming viral. The numbers of people that are walking away from liberalism, communism, and the left because they have become completely insane. And so people are waking up. And here's what's important for those of us that know these truths. These people, as they come awake, they're going to be asking tough questions, and we need to be able to answer their questions. So that we stand out from the liars and the misfits, like down at the local churches and the other misfits out here, we need to be the standard that they can come to, and they will find that we are honest. If we don't know, we're going to tell them we don't know. But if we do know, we're going to tell it to you, even if it hurts. We're going to tell you the truth.
Yeah, and I think you're talking about liberals in the true sense of the word, not these progressive types.
No,
and a good example. Yeah, and a good example, I think, is this. I caught that recent interview where Judge Jeanine was on The View with that frickin' black bitch, whatever her name is.
Whoopi Goldberg.
Whoopi freaking Goldberg, yeah. I mean, she held her composure. And that she, you know, I don't really have a ton of respect for her. I think she's a decent person. I mean, there's some things about her that she's a little neoconic for my taste, but for the most part, she's got integrity, and she's a good, you know, and the way she held her composure, and she was just trying to answer, you know, answer the questions with politeness, and the way these leftist freaking people like her just overreact with emotionalism, because it's all they have. They have no intellect. All they have is their emotional outbursts, and when they start losing the fight, they resort to swear words or the Nazi words or the
Do you know who is the best at that? And so you know who you're dealing with are Jews. If you get into a debate like I have with Jews, they will try to maintain their cool and sound intellectual until they realize they're losing the debate, and then every four-letter word ever invented will come out of their mouths, because that's all they've got.
Yeah, and then, of course, their ace in the hole would be anti-Semite.
Oh, well, that's the final one. When even all of the four-letter words don't cause you to acquiesce and allow them to win the day, then the last thing, of course, is saying you're an anti-Semite, which is a lie, because we're the true Shemites, and they're not.
Right.
So everything about a Jew is a lie. Isn't that amazing? Everything about them is a lie.
Isn't that amazing? They'll call you, even when they're resort to their tactics and start calling the names and the ultimate name of the anti-Semite. Even that, in and of itself, is a lie, because they're not even, we're the Semite. It's just incredible. It's just so incredible. I mean, man.
Well, we're in the fight of the centuries right now. This is the big one for all the marbles. So
really,
praise Yahweh, you know, that we're alive and we're part of it. You know what I mean?
Yeah, I just wish I was in the prime. I wish I was in my prime, age-wise and health-wise. I would enjoy it more, but I'm still enjoying it, you know, almost from the sidelines, so to speak. But yeah, it is. It's just amazing to watch. And I tell all my friends and family members, as much as they'll listen to me anyway, about the time that we live in. It's just. And that most of them are just like, yeah, really? They have no clue. No clue whatsoever. But like you said, there's a lot of us truth seekers that are awakening by droves, and it's really good to see. It's really good to see. I'm not going to keep you too long. I just wanted to throw that out there about the connection between the globe earth and evolution, and get my two cents in there, and I'm sure you probably have other people, but I don't want to stay on. Because I know the format's different now than it used to be. So, and I hadn't talked to you in quite a while, but nice chat with you. And,
Henry. Yep. Yahweh bless you, buddy.
Yeah. You take care, bud.
Take care. All right, Phil, you're back on, buddy.
Yeah, that was a great call. I appreciate that one. That was good. I wanted to throw in my two cents. He's absolutely right about the connection between evolution and the ball earth. But I also like to point out that that we attack the Judeo Christians for promoting the rapture myth. But there's really no difference between a rapture where you go up to up in the clouds and play a harp while God cleans the earth, than there is if you want to get into a spaceship and go off to another planet. In both cases, you leave the earth to the enemy. for them to destroy.
All of this mm-hmm. is a mental construct to uh-huh. take you away from the here mm-hmm. and now, here on Earth, dealing with the reality. It's all make believe. It's just mm-hmm. That's why they got into television and the movies so quickly mm-hmm. and bought up all the control, because they realize that mm-hmm. people love to escape reality. I saw a good meme that came out some time ago. It said people are not addicted to drugs and alcohol. They're addicted to escaping reality. That's the problem yep. of our people. Okay? It's not just mm-hmm. the drugs and alcohol. They will seek anything that allows them to escape reality. So they'll buy novels, they'll buy magazines, they'll go to the movies, they'll get drunk, they'll get high, they'll do anything rather than having to face reality, which, again, the Bible talks about. Our people want their ears tickled. That's what the Bible saying is all about. It's an idiomatic expression. It's basically saying no matter what time you live in, your people are going to have this propensity to want to escape dealing with reality. They will seek anything. There's people who seek excessive sex. There's people that will seek pornography. They'll seek sports. They'll seek entertainment. They'll seek movies. Anything that allows them to walk away from their God-given responsibility to deal with reality. That shows weakness in our people. And Yahweh mm-hmm. is thinning the herd, Phil. That's what I believe we're at that point in history where our Heavenly Father makes it very, very clear in the writings that he is going to thin the herd. And to be quite frank, the herd needs to be thinned. We've got a lot of people walking in shoe leather that really shouldn't even be sucking air. I mean, they are profligates, they are bums, they are scum, they are degenerate, they are lazy, they are filth. And personally, I'm not going to miss them at all. To be honest, I'm not going to miss them at all. We've been trying to, we've been on just this radio show alone, and there were others like our predecessors like Bertrand Comparé, and Wesley Swift, and Colonel Gale, and many, many others trying to wake our silly asses up. And yet, we still got brain-dead white people out there that just want to lap up all the propaganda and allow them to go back to sleep and not address the issues. I mean, so when Father thins the herd, I say hallelujah. We may not be great big numbers like we are now. We may be down to a tiny remnant, but by God, it'll be the cream of the crop this time.
Yeah, I agree with that. Yeah, we must remember that it says that, Yahweh loved his holy order of arrangement, not the world. And
well, that's what cosmos means.
Yes, and the modern astronomy, the Hollywood and everything else, they promote chaos rather than Yahweh's laws and Yahweh's order, and the media lap it up like it's a game. That's why when they promote war on television, it's just an adventure, like you would in a movie, and it's disgusting. It's ridiculous, but even ancient Babylon would have never done the things that are happening in this country. You know, they would never have people protest that if you go fishing, you're torturing a fish, you know, I've seen animal rights protesters who would protest a fishing contest because they're torturing fish. They did it in Indiana. It was ridiculous.
Well, you know? Phil, stupid people torture me. So am I allowed to go out and do something to them? All right. People that have brains that they refuse to use, they torture me. Mm-hmm. All right. And people that use ad hominem attacks instead of logic and the proper rules of debate, they torture me, all right? And that means that Jews torture me because that's how they operate, all right? I've had debates with Jews. And you know, I had a neighbor recently try to tell me that somehow the topic of Jews came up, and the first thing, of course, he wanted to make sure I understood he was not a racist, and he's politically correct because he was telling me, well, you know, they're very smart people and all this other stuff, and they're very good with money. And I go, oh, so you bought the propaganda, huh? You drank the Kool-Aid. And he goes, what? I said, well, I'm sorry, but I've known Jews my whole life. I've worked with them. I've studied them. I've read what the Bible says about them. I read what Christ says about them. And I said, they're just the opposite of what you just said. I said, they're thieves. I said, just like Albert Einstein. They hold up Albert Einstein as being some kind of a brilliant Jew. All he was a flunky clerk in a patent office. Gee, Phil, I wonder where Einstein got a lot of his theories. He worked in a patent office as a flunky clerk. And then he turns around and the Jews and the media hold him up as this brilliant guy because he stole the white man's patents, funneled them out through the synagogue to Jews so that they could use them to make money, so they promote him as some kind of a brilliant Jew when all he was a damn thief, like every other Jew. They steal our work, our intellectual property, just like Michael McKibben on the American Intelligence Media Program. He was the inventor of software that's making probably trillions of dollars at this time. Him and his team developed this software that was stolen, and they can't get to courts. Oh, wait a minute. That's right. The Jews are predominantly the lawyers and judges. They can't get to courts to honor their patent rights and intellectual property because the fellow Jews are making hundreds of billions of dollars over this intellectual property that was stolen from them. Just go to the American Intelligence Media YouTube channel and listen to what McKibben says. The man's brilliant, and he's done a lot of research because, like so many of our people, Phil, we don't wake up until we get battered, until the system crushes us or steals from us or murders a loved one. That's when all of a sudden the lights come on for the average person. And for Mr. McKibben, just like Edgar Steele, okay, Mr. McKibben had his intellectual property stolen and billions of dollars taken from him and his research team. Well, same thing with Edgar Steele. He was a successful lawyer in California, 25 years without losing a single case until he went to represent Pastor Richard Butler of Aryan Nations. And when he lost in court, that opened his eyes up to the power of the Jew. And he became a very outspoken in public speaker and in his writings and on his website about these the terrible power of the Jew, and they eventually got him thrown in prison on a trumped-up charge and killed him in prison. But he had an awakening. Unfortunately, it took that facade of a trial against Richard Butler to wake up a man like Edgar Steele. But when they woke him up, he was a tiger, man. He was a lion. He was very outspoken about what the Jews are doing to the criminal justice system. So praise Yahweh. I mean, it's sad that it takes that kind of a travesty to wake up our silly asses. I mean, I don't understand it. Why, white people, we are the ones that brought civilization on this earth. I mean, the evidence of that is coming out everywhere. Whether you're talking about the archaeologists, or the biblical scholars, or researchers, or adventurers, or travelers, they're all finding the evidence now. As Christ said, if the truth is not told, these stones will speak out. Well, to me, that's archaeology, the stones, the things that have been covered up by sand and peat moss and all that stuff is being uncovered, and they're showing that the Caucasian race is at least 8,000 years old and has been all over this earth for that entire period of time. We weren't put in just one spot. One particular family was put in one spot, but our race has been all over this earth for a very long time. And we brought architecture and agriculture and the sciences and medicine and hospitals and things like that. We brought that to the world. The rest of the cultures didn't do that. And they always point to, like now, today, Egypt is occupied by brown people. Well, they try to make it sound like it's always been that way. No, it wasn't. Egypt, when it was a dynasty, was ruled by white people, just as Media and Persia were ruled by white people. Even the word Iran comes from Aryan. Okay, so the very nation of Iran is named after Aryan. We are the Aryan people. Nobody else is. They're finding all these other cultures all over the earth when they, like the Basque people in Spain, come from an ancient people. Guess what they're tied to? Yeah, our DNA. Back to the beginning, Adam. So, you know, the truth is starting to come out. Praise God for that. But, you know, we're drowning in a sea of lies and deceptions, and it's just remarkable to me. But while I got you on here, and already we're at the hour and a half mark, I can't believe it's that fast it went by. But I wanted to get a little bit into Revelation 18, Phil, if you want to stick on with me here for a bit. But, you know, this okay. is the chapter in Revelation when it talks about the coming down in Babylon. So let me just read it a little bit, and then let's talk about that with the folks, all right? Says here, chapter 18, after these things I saw another angel or messenger coming down out of the heavens, having great authority. The earth was illuminated with his glory. He cried with a mighty voice, saying, "Fallen, fallen is Babylon the Great, and she has become a habitation of demons, a prison of every unclean spirit, and a prison of every unclean and hateful bird. For all the nations," that means peoples, "have drunk of the wine of the wrath of her sexual immorality. And the kings of the earth," that's all of your prime ministers, the Merkels, the Trudeaus, and whatnot, the kings or rulers or governors or prime ministers, presidents, whatever you want to call them, "committed sexual immorality with her." Whoa, we're finding out about Pizzagate and pedophilia. "And the merchants of the world grew rich from the abundance of her luxury. I heard another voice from heaven crying, 'Come out of her, my people, that you have no participation in her sins.'" Now remember, folks, the definition of a sin right out of the Bible is transgression of God's law, not man's law, God's law. "That you have no participation in her sins, and that you do not receive of her plagues, for her sins have reached to the sky or firmament, and Yahweh has remembered her iniquities. Return to her just as she returned, and repay her double as she did, and according to her works." So, Phil, down here at verse 11, it says, "The merchants of the earth weep and mourn over her, for no one buys their merchandise anymore." Can you see that day coming in the near future?
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah, I see it every day, because the more the powers that, you know, God is, Yahweh is in control. He's, you know, and he's putting these scumbags Jews in the front when everything goes to hell, literally, as an example to illustrate to us what he's warning us about. I mean, if the Jews were so, you know, the most subtle beasts of the field, they wouldn't be in your face. You wouldn't be doing these things. But now that they are in control, they brag about it. People may not know this, but if you take the ball Earth model, and you take and you add the longitudinal latitudinal lines on the Earth, the only place on this world where those two numbers add up to 666 is, you guessed it, Jerusalem. And our system has become so utterly, utterly corrupted. We've become far more Babylonian than the than Babylon ever was. And once in the merchants will weep because no one's going to buy their, they're going to use their shekels, and they're going to prioritize, and they're going to follow his law, because they've gone bankrupt, and the whole system has collapsed. And I think that's going to go not only with the merchandise, material wise, but it's also regarding the discipline of science, because science used to be one that was very, very God centered and to glorify his creation. And since evolution and everything and the Jewish control of it, they're using it to try and deny Yahweh's glory. And we're going to get rid of Einstein and these other idiots, and we're going to replace them with people like Tesla and true Israelites who know glory and everything. We will not have pollution. We will not have the problems we have, and our people will rule over this earth as we're designed to do. We're going to subdue it and control it.
Amen to that. Well, you know, it's again, Bill Holter, the economist, predicted in 2017 that it would be the year of the truth bomb, which it was. And he also predicted January of this year that 2018 would be the year that truth matters. And it does seem to be shaping up that way. So he doesn't claim to be a prophet, but it does appear that he had a prophetic saying in that when truth matters, people are going to come to the truth that we're talking about here on this program. Because if you truly want to know the truth, well, then you have to come to the same conclusions that all of the rest of us came to, because that's how we got here, is endless research and digging and asking questions. And just as the Bible says, accept all things and keep that which is good. Accept all things. What's that mean, Phil? The way I interpret that, accept all things means to keep an open mind. Is that not what it's trying to say?
Mm-hmm.
All right, then. So our people, and here's something about identity. I've had some very long conversations with fellow believers in recent days, and we have been lamenting the hierarchy within the identity message or identity movement, whatever you want to call it, this Bible truth. The problem we are having within the circles of so-called identity believers is we have some who want to turn identity into another form of Roman Catholic Church. They want to hold themselves up as chief rabbis in a synagogue or the chief priests in the identity church. They want to do exactly the same thing that Roman Catholicism does. Turn this movement into a political mechanism, and they themselves are the, quote, stars or the rising stars or the chief rabbis. And if you have any theories or any topics that differ from what they teach, then you're an apostate, you're a heretic, and even though I'm sure they would like to burn you at the stake, they don't do it literally right now. They try to do it verbally. So can you see that happening within our ranks? And I think Father's going to weed those people out as well.
I think so. I do think that we do need to have a doctrine, a statement of belief and stick to that. But I also believe that we need to be able to come together as a people, but not have everything, you know, hammered down on us like the Roman Catholic Church can do and even others. But the thing that worries me, on the other hand, is it concerns me of people running away because they're uncomfortable with things that they may not be that they may not like, and run off to go their own way. And the one thing that I do admire about Catholic, like for instance the Irish, for instance, and everything, they stick by each other through thick and thin, and to them it's blood and it's tradition, And that's something that I think we need to admire that, but we also should not browbeat those who have a difference of opinion. My opinion towards the flat earth is one that's consistent, but I also am sympathetic to those who have been indoctrinated into the solar system model. So, and I'm willing to understand their position, but I also think that we should be consistent in our views and be able to stand our ground, but we should not browbeat those who have a difference of opinion.
Yeah, amen to that. Amen to that. Well, I was accused by a certain rabbi in a platform that I just left. A certain rabbi over there accused me of being apostate for daring to suggest that mutilation of our boys, our young children, is not a godly thing to do. And here's the irony of that. Now, this is, I'm being told I'm an apostate for teaching this, and yet the Canadians are going to outlaw the practice. Denmark has already outlawed the practice. The practice is diminishing over the last decade by 10% all on its own, besides the work of organizations showing that the number of botched circumcisions is far greater than people are even aware of. And in spite of what the New Testament says, that even in the writings of Paul and the other apostles, it talks about the fact that our Father's not concerned with you cutting and mutilating your body. He's concerned with the circumcision of your heart. It's talking about the heart within you. It's not talking about mutilating your body. So, you know, when a rabbi tries to denounce me for saying that we shouldn't mutilate our bodies, that tells me a lot about that individual. All right. And when I say he's a rabbi, that's exactly the way he behaves, exactly like a rabbi. So if a rabbi doesn't like me saying that, well, that doesn't bother me one single bit. So I'm going to stand on my contentions because it's based on facts. It's based on scripture. It's even based on common sense. So if the rabbi and his buddies want to call me an apostate over that, I take that gladly. That's a badge of honor, because when we stand in front of the Father, I have a feeling I'm going to get an attaboy and they're going to get a severe spanking. So, when that day comes, I won't be in fear, but they had better be. We got another caller here, Phil, unless you have something more, buddy.
No, I'm fine.
Okay, bud. Thanks, and Yahweh bless. Okay, Henry, you're back on.
Yeah. The show moves so fast. I originally punched in when you were talking about Revelation 18. I was going to make a comment about that. But now that you're talking about the circumcision, I just have to say, I watched a link that you sent me about that young Jewish kid from Harvard, and it was unbelievable. I can't agree with you more on the it's just such a grotesque thing to do to the male organ. Oh my God.
Yeah.
I started to watch that video. I said, I'm going to watch a few minutes of this because, I'm not that fascinated with the subject, but I got to give the Jew some credit, man. He really, really nailed it. I'm sure you watched it yourself. You know what I'm talking about?
Well, he lost his position at Harvard over making that video.
I'm not surprised at all. I mean,
yeah.
But I just to make one comment. When you were talking about Revelation 18 and the fornication, in my opinion, I think the fornication that it's speaking of is this open border policy of all the Western European nations. Just this open invitation to the internationalist Jew, and we're seeing all the remnants and all the negative things that have come about because of it, and it's just put our world in total chaos. And I think that's what it's talking about, the fornication. I think it directly correlates to the open border policies that Western European nations are all experiencing right now. Do you agree with that?
Well, yeah, in part I do. Typically, fornication is sexual, breaking of the sexual laws, but it's also sometimes an allegory to idolatry. And idolatry is easily defined as when you allow government, little g god government, to dictate unbiblical and immoral decisions in your land. So in that context, you're exactly right. You know, the white nations performing idolatry. So
yeah, because open borders promotes race mixing. And
exactly.
If race mixing is not fornication, then I don't know what is.
Oh yeah, you're right. They're intertwined. They're intertwined.
Yeah, exactly.
And so you're right. When they allow the alien in, they violate both Leviticus and Deuteronomy, which make it very, very clear that the alien is not to be mistreated if he behaves himself. However, he's never to be given permanent status. He's not allowed to move in. And he sure as hell isn't allowed to be part of your governing body. That's only to be the men of Israel in good standing of good character. And that's it. Just our men, period. That's the only ones that have a right to govern. So,
And once again, it's done under false pretenses.
Sure.
The guy, false prosperity. It's going to be good for everybody. We're all going to benefit. The commerce is going to be great. All this bullshit that we're all getting so used to and sick of. So, yeah. I'll sign off again. I just wanted to throw that out there. Great show today. And continue on.
Okay, Henry. Yahweh bless, buddy.
All right. See ya.
Okay, caller from, looks like, Maryland. Welcome to the program.
Hello, Pastor Dan. I just wanted to say, just 2 days ago, on July 20th, 1969, the Adamic race landed a white man on the surface of the moon safely and returned him. And I'm so tired of people saying that this never happened. They believe Jews like Stanley Kubrick and crap all the crap like that. I'm sorry. I'm done with this. I don't understand this. God gave us these magnificent brains, and we've developed things like computers. And computers are not evil. Neither are flat screens. Okay? It's like you said, the gun and like a tool, it's a tool. It can be used for evil or good. I mean, why? I don't get this. It's the year 2018, and people are still saying the Earth is flat, and we never land a man on the moon. This is ridiculous. This makes us look like idiots.
Well, that's your opinion. That's your opinion, Steve.
But okay. I mean...
What is your proof, Steve? What is your proof? Let me ask you this question, all right? Now, stay calm. Okay, stay calm. What is your proof that you can present to me other than something provided by a government or NASA? What is your proof?
Okay. I sent you an email. You live in Florida, and you've never witnessed a rocket launch from JFK. You told me you've never actually witnessed one launch. I have.
Why would I drive 6 hours north just to see that charade? Why would I do that? No, I haven't. I have no desire to go watch it. First of all, there's plenty of video, and nobody's denying that something didn't leave a launch pad. Okay, but that doesn't prove anything.
I watched a space shuttle launch from my father in the late 80s, and let me tell you something. That thing went up for real. It wasn't made up. I felt it in my gut. You get the whole ground vibrate by the power of it, and it was developed by white people, the Adamic race, okay?
Okay, so that we can build a rocket. Nobody's denying that, Steve.
You're telling me you actually don't believe that we landed a man on the moon.
No, I don't, Steve. No, I don't.
No,
I don't. And I've got more and more people coming to this side of it, of the issue, than you. So if you want to believe that, I got no problem with it. It doesn't change who we are and what our mission is here. But the evidence just doesn't support it. The evidence that I found doesn't support it.
Plus, I'll tell you something else. You bring up Genesis and all that. Well, okay, come on. God was trying to transmit information to people that barely are above the invention of the wheel, and you're going to try to... And what was
Steve,
that? Well, they only
Steve, have you studied anything at all about the things that archaeologists have dug up that's over 8,000 years old that we can't even duplicate today, and you're going to tell me that those people back then were ignoramuses? Oh, please.
I'm not saying that. I did not. Did I say they were ignoramuses? No, I did not.
You're trying to allude to that. You're saying they didn't even invent a wheel. They could invent a computer.
No, I didn't say that.
They could build a pyramid, but they didn't know how a wheel works. Are you kidding me?
I did not say that, Pastor Dan.
You inferred it.
No, I did not. I said they barely above the invention. My point is this. God was trying to explain something to people. I mean, if God was doing it now, yeah, we know about the different layers, the atmosphere, everything. We know he would explain it in much better terms, much higher technology terms. Those people, he had to bring it down to their level and had to put it so much way they would have to put it on paper, commit it to paper so much way, or not paper, whatever it was back then, but you know what I mean.
I understand. Okay. Well,
Listen. I told you. I've conversed with you with emails. I think you know who I am now. I told you. I listen to you. And as I told you, I listen to you. I listen to William Fink. I still listen to EFR. And except for that one guy in Georgia. I take from each of you what I think what the Spirit is leading me to believe is correct. I'm not saying I'm an expert. I'm just going by what I feel is correct. And I don't know, but I guess you know how I feel about this flat earth stuff. And you know how I made my issue clear to you how I feel about that.
And again, those of us on this side of the aisle have no problem with your side of the aisle. You can believe that if you want. I don't care. I just don't want you attacking me like I'm an idiot because I believe what I do. That's what I don't like.
Do you own a telescope? Or have you ever looked through a telescope?
Yes, I have looked through a telescope. I did own a $400 telescope. And you know what it looked like to me? Everything I looked at in that telescope looked like a light shining through a bowl of water. That's what it looked like to me. I didn't see anything that resembled the pictures that NASA puts out. Nothing.
I have. With an amateur telescope, you can see Jupiter, and you can watch the four Galilean moons, and you can see them going across the surface and see the shadow on the surface or the upper atmosphere of Jupiter being cast from those moons. It's one of the nights. It's beautiful. What does that have to do with it? It doesn't have to be a very expensive telescope.
Because I paid $400 for mine, and it didn't even have anywhere near enough clarity to see something like you're talking about. So you must have paid a hell of a lot more for yours.
You can see it with a good pair of binoculars. You can also do it that way.
No, you can't, because I've tried. No, you can't. I don't know what you're looking at, but you didn't look at anything that I looked at.
That's not – well, all right, fine, okay.
I'm just telling you, I've done it. I have looked at the sky, and I haven't seen anything even closely resembling what you're talking about. So I don't know what you're looking at, but I can't see it.
Why would God create all the planets and moon round and the Earth would be flat?
First of all,
I'll tell you something else. You say the Earth goes. You believe the Earth, the Sun revolves around the Earth. Is that correct? Or everything revolves around the Earth, the Sun, for one. How can a mass? The Sun is much larger mass than the Earth. There's no way it could be possible.
I'm going to tell you something. Just the other day, I went out and saw a great big old puffy cloud up in the sky, and around the edges of it are the beams from the sun, and they were going out at almost a 40-degree angle. How does that happen from a big, gigantic ball that's 93 million miles away? How do the rays of light shine around a cloud, which is minuscule in size, and come off at a 40-degree angle if it's that far away and it's that big? How does it do that?
I don't know. I'm ignorant on a lot of things.
You know
what,
Steve? Here's the problem. I don't argue with my senses. I trust my senses. You don't. You want to go with what's politically correct. That's your prerogative. You can do that. I'm not going to argue with what my common sense and my physical senses tell me. I've been out there, and trust me, I used to be a baltard. I used to be. I thought it was ridiculous.
Oh, no, so now I'm a ball. Okay. Oh, so now I'm a baltard. Is that what
That's
I am
what
now?
I called myself, Steve. That's what I called myself. I didn't say that to you. I said that's me. And we got another caller. I got to take another call. Jim, you're on the program. Welcome to the program.
Good morning, Pastor Dan. Jimmy Bank versus UTV here out of Tampa, Florida. I'm a Florida native, and this has been a very, very, very interesting show. And I'm going to say this about that, especially to this last caller. I, too, have witnessed the Saturn V, many, many, many shuttle launches with my own two eyes. But that doesn't mean jack shit. Doesn't mean anything. I saw a big rocket go up in the sky. I have no proof whatsoever where it went. I, too, own a very, very expensive telescope with lots of sexy optics. I have several cameras atop my building. And the thing is, none of us really know anything for sure. I'm not being argumentative. And I just have to say, with all due respect to your last caller, I noticed because my degrees are in engineering with a minor in Dr. Phil's psychology, but when someone tries to play the game of, oh, now you're calling me this, he lost credibility with me on that. And in summary, Pastor Dan, I wanted to call and say hello, and I wanted to give this comment. None of us really know anything for sure, for sure. We have to keep our eyes open. I purchased the telescope as a tool to look myself. And I, too, Pastor Dan, haven't seen a lot of things that people proclaim. And do I believe, I'm going to say this on the air on July 22nd, 2018, at just before you have to end your conversation, I do not believe that we landed any man on the moon, ever. I have looked into it for years. I think it's all a bunch of propaganda garbage. I think even NASA admitted that some of it was filmed in a studio in California just to make it easier for the people to see this spectacular event. Well... Really, yeah. I mean, it's out there, but
I know.
You know, and I don't mean to, but I really wanted to also say again, you had a great show, and the first two callers, I like their spirited contribution to this, and I don't mean to be ugly to the last caller, but I just would suggest to him, you know, I don't know if the Earth is round or flat, because I just don't know for sure. I just don't know, but I have enough evidence with the tools that I have and my maturity of 58 years on this planet and a couple of degrees, which means I've studied and you know, scratched my head to where I have almost no more hair. We can't be argumentative over things we really don't know. Show me the proof. And thank you for taking my call, Pastor Dan. It's always a pleasure to carry your show.
All right, Jimmy. Thank you, and Yahweh bless, buddy.
Yahweh bless.
Okay, Phil, you're back on, buddy.
Yeah, I'd like to comment on that last, in that call previous to the last caller. He talked about the ancients being barely above that of creating a wheel. The single justification that modernity uses to justify what is going on in this world is to discredit the ancient world because they would say that they're so stupid they believe that the Earth is flat, and that ends the debate. While you can see the rockets go up, if you watch film from a distance, you'll see that every single one of them begins to curve back down towards the Earth. You never see one go straight up; they always curve back down to the Earth.
Right. All the astronauts are all Freemasons. If you look at the so-called moon rocks, one of them that was given to a country in Asia, I forgot which one, turned out to be petrified wood. If you look at the numerology of things, you'll see that it's entirely Kabbalistic. For instance, the supposed tilt of the Earth is at 23.4 degrees. Why would the Kabbalists promoting the ball Earth use 23.4 degrees? Because that is exactly 66.6 degrees off of vertical. That's right. Why they do this kind of thing. Right. It's supposedly 96 million miles from Earth. That's another Kabbalistic number. It's a sex symbol. It's a sex sign. It's equivalent to the six-pointed star. And so that's why they use that number. And while you say he said that the sun is much larger than the moon, when you look at it, it's exactly the same size. Unless someone tells you you're going 1,000 miles an hour, okay, you never believe you're moving at all. But right. according to the model, you're supposed to be traveling 1,000 miles an hour. This is completely contrary to the Earth is fixed and does not move. It's Yahweh's footstool. A footstool is flat. Okay, it's not Yahweh's soccer ball. Okay, even though we did have the World Cup here just a little while ago. Okay,
That's a good one.
So okay, so I'm trying to be consistent.
It also goes to the scriptures when it says his coming, he'll be visible to all the people on the earth. Well, how do you do that on a mm-hmm. ball when half the population's on the other side of the ball? Well, if it's a flat plane, well then it is possible. When he says the heavens will be rolled up like a scroll, well. If the mm-hmm. firmament was his creation and he pulls it back, if there's some way to pull that back, that makes sense. But a atmosphere around a ball spinning through endless galaxy, okay, that verse doesn't make any sense at all. So, mm-hmm. you know, here's the thing. We have many, many topics that we can talk about that we're not all going to agree on. And that is the way it is. Mm-hmm. We're never all going to agree. Phil, you and I don't even agree on everything. Okay, mm-hmm. here's the point, and this is what people need to take away from this discussion. By God, you had better respect my opinion as much as I respect yours. Do you? Mm-hmm. You do not come on this show or any other venue and lambast somebody who disagrees with you simply because their opinion is based on their evidence and it disagrees with your conclusions. That will not be tolerated, okay? I don't expect everybody to believe what we say on here to be true. I expect you to go do your own research. That's what I did for 50 years to find out what I know, and that's what I expect everybody else to do. We are presenting what we have come to know by our own senses, by our own research, by our own logic, and as a team. This is not a singular effort. This is a team of people that's growing, by the way, day by day. We present it. You digest it. You do with it as you see fit. That's the way it works, no matter what topic we're talking about. If you wish to go mutilate your child, then you have a nut and just go do it. If you think that's the right thing to do after you research the matter out and in your heart of hearts, after praying to the Father, you think that's the right thing to do, then by God, go ahead and do it. You can answer to him when you get there. Okay? I'm not going to judge you or lambast you or denigrate you. That is your decision. However, do not tell me that I have to change my mind to say that mutilation of a small child is okay after the research I've done. No, that's unacceptable. And see, it's all about attitude. If you read the Bible, it's mostly about attitude. Now, here's the other thing. The hypocrisy of the rabbis denouncing me. These rabbis aren't saying shit to the people out there that are mutilating their child on the first and second day. But the book is pretty clear that when it was done on the eighth day. In fact, it commands that it be done on the eighth day. when are these rabbis going to denounce their own family members and all of their congregations that are out there committing sin? Because now they've mutilated their child for no reason, because they're already in violation of the book. They didn't do it on the eighth day, and the book commands it be done on the eighth day. Or at least the English translation says it must be done, and that's what they're using to judge me by. So these hypocrites aren't even in line with the very book that they're claiming gives them a right to call me an apostate. Do you see the hypocrisy here, Phil?
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah, I do. And you know, I highly admire the people that work at NASA for their brilliant minds and things like that, and their mathematical abilities and stuff like that. But they all work in a specific area, and while they're overwhelmingly white, they're done what they're told, just as newscasters and everything else on television and all that stuff. They have to serve the system, and if we are in this floating in the world, I'd like to circumnavigate the globe by going over the Antarctica, but it's never been done, and
right.
It never will be done.
And they're not going to allow you to do that. The government's
not
going to
allow
you
to do that.
Right.
Yeah.
They'll let you go all over the North Pole, but you can't go across the South Pole. No.
Yeah, it's true.
Right.
Yeah. Yeah. And so,
you have to overcome your own logic and common sense to believe their lie.
Mm-hmm.
You actually have to do that.
I don't mock those who want to believe it. If that makes them feel better, if they want to live in that world and believe that that's true, it's okay with me. But don't tell me that I have to take that as fact.
Right.
So.
Right. We could go on and on and on about that subject, but it's the attitude, okay? Father judges us a lot on attitude. If you read the scriptures properly, you'll find out that nowhere in there, even the most famous people spoken of in the Bible, they weren't perfect people. King David is one of my favorite. Okay, King David was a tremendous man of Israel. So King David was not perfect, and yet he's the only man I know of spoken of in Scripture that says was after Yahweh's own heart. And yet David was far from perfect. What was it that made him after Yahweh's own heart? Was it a love of truth? Was it a love of the Father above all things, even though he was trapped in a flesh body that can make mistakes? That's what my contention is. It was his attitude. His attitude was, I'm going to attempt to be the best man I can be, all the while knowing I can't live up to the example or the model of Christ himself. He was the only perfect person in a flesh body. All right, so that's the only attribute of David I see that stands out above any other man, is his attitude. And that's what I'm trying to get people to understand. If you can't maintain a proper attitude, shame on you. Okay? And that's why I left where I was on the platform I left. All right? So, you know, it's attitude. It's attitude. And that's what I will not accept. I will not accept a negative attitude or a contentious attitude. I've dealt with those kind of people for many, many years. They just love to argue. There was a guy named Don Campbell who used to live in Minnesota, and he would call me from time to time, and he would sit on the phone with me for an hour and a half to 2 hours and just be contentious on topic after topic after topic after topic. Until I finally just, I had to tell him, look, I got to hang up. This is, I can't handle this anymore. First of all, it's meaningless, pointless. There is no end to it. You just simply love to argue. And some people are like that. They mm-hmm. It doesn't matter what the topic is. They will take the other opposing view just because they simply love to argue. they get some kind of a high off of it or something. And really, we're running out of time. We don't have time to waste it on just meaningless arguing. If there's a point to be made, if there's some end to it, if there's some benefit to us as a people that will help preserve our race, well, then okay, fine. But many times it's not. It's just simply arguing for arguing's sake, and that's counterproductive, and we don't need to be taken down that road at all. We've been on for quite a while now, and I'm sure the listeners are probably getting pretty tired, Phil. Did you have anything else before we have to shove off?
No, I just want to say goodbye, and it's been a blessing to listen to all your listeners, even those who may not agree with us. And it's an honor, and I would like to praise Yahweh above all things, and bring victory to our people, and hope that this beast system is destroyed sooner rather than later. And
amen to that.
The program.
We've certainly had enough innocent blood, haven't we?
Yeah, that's for sure.
All right. Yep. Yahweh bless, buddy.
Okay, thank you. Yahweh bless.
All right, ladies and gentlemen, we want to thank you for tuning in and joining us. And again, we don't ever ask that you believe anything we talk about on this program for its face value, okay? We don't ever do that. We encourage everybody to do their own research, all right? However, it's our job and our right to present what we know to be true based on what we have discovered. It's as simple as that. You always have the right to change the channel. You have a right to start your own conference call, and, you know, Yahweh bless you for it. If the people that are out there agree with you and find your logic to be pure, well, then you'll have a nice audience and have a great time. I'm blessed to sit in what I call the command center here and get feedback from Israelites all over the earth on a daily basis. That's an honor and a privilege. I like to think that the cream of the crop feed me information every single day. Honest, hardworking, salt-of-the-earth Israelites that are out there with their boots on the ground in this sick world that we live in, trying to eke out a living and to keep their grain, as Gideon was trying to do, hide his grain in the wine press so the Philistines wouldn't steal it. All right? So the other non-Israelites wouldn't come in and steal it. Well, that's exactly what the white people today are doing in every white nation. The Jew and the hordes of Jew sycophants have come marching in and are eating out the sustenance of our people. And so we struggle day in and day out. And it's my blessing and my honor to communicate with these people. So I'm hearing real life stories as to what's going on in this world and get to sit here and put all the pieces together and bounce ideas off of these great minds and great individuals who are just real people. They have no agenda. They have no skin in the game as far as politics and world politics. They just simply love the truth and are tired in seeing the misery that mankind is under with this beast system. It's time for it to end, folks. It's time for it to end. There is far too much innocent blood that has been shed. If you want to watch a YouTube to sicken you as to the culpability of these creatures called Jews, go to YouTube and do a search for a YouTube entitled Europa, The Last Battle. It's in several parts. Start with part one. If you can stomach it, watch what these creatures did to the white Russian men, women, and children to the tune of close to 100 million of our kinsmen. These so-called philanthropists, Jews who just love everybody and love the children like Janet Reno. I just love the children, so we're going to send the tanks in and burn the buildings to the ground with 17 little children burnt alive. Do you see the hypocrisy? What does it say in the book of Luke about the hypocrisy of the Jew? Christ said, "Beware the leaven of the Pharisees." Well, today the Pharisees are the Jews, which is their hypocrisy. So there the Father gave you a clue, didn't he? They are the consummate hypocrites of the world. Just look for their hypocrisy. Every Jew in Washington, D.C. is a flagrant hypocrite. Every liberal, communist, Zionist supporter is a hypocrite. That's why the walk away movement is going viral, as people begin to realize that these people are hypocrites. So praise Yahweh for the great awakening. Dear Heavenly Father, we thank you for this time together. We thank you for Jimmy and his audience over at Bank Versus UTV out of the great city of Tampa. And we also thank you for our brothers and sisters all over that listen in and those that will listen later by the downloads. The truth is getting out there. We are having an effect. We know that. And Yahweh said, "I will not allow my word to go out and not return with benefits and fruit." Okay, it will not return void, is the way Scripture puts it. So we're putting out his truths in whatever avenue that we decide for the day. We talk about the truth of Scriptures as it was written in the original language and not these erroneous English translations, which were adulterated for political gain, just as King James had the admonitions against homosexuality stripped from the King James Version because the Geneva Bible made it very clear. So the pilgrims that came to America, Father, we know they carried the Geneva Bible, not the King James Bible. And yet today we've got people that actually believe the King James Version is the only legitimate version. How ludicrous is that? So we're trying, Father. We're not perfect by any stretch of the imagination. And so we beseech you to look upon us as the errant children that we are, stumbling and falling through this world, making mistake after mistake after mistake. We're trying to attain righteousness. And we know that only through our righteousness will this world ever be made a better place. And only through righteousness do we have a right to ask you for blessings and protection. Because the unrighteous, even their prayers, go unheard. Help us to remain that way, Father. Keep us with our eyes on the path. Give us good discernment. Give us courage. Something in severe lacking today in the white race. Give us the courage to take a stand. Give us the courage to be passionate. And also, Father, please, protect us from our enemies. We ask all these things in Yahweh's precious name, and hallelujah.